This is Dylan FM, a Freak Music Club podcast. I'm Bob Dylan. If you love Dylan, you're in the right place. This season, we're going deep on Time Out of Mind to celebrate its 25th anniversary. Here's your host, Craig Danieloff.
Record reviews just aren't as important as they used to be. Like many other things, they've been devalued in an online world where we're flooded with opinions in all qualities and from all angles. Sturgeon's Law applies, of course. 90% of everything is crap. I actually believe the number is 98%, but whatever it is, most reviews just aren't worth the electrons that deliver them. But there are still great record reviewers out there. The best of them are done by people who know what they're talking about, both musically and more broadly. They can really write, and they deliver interesting, useful observations or impressions, or evocative and compelling commentary. So what I'd like to do today to start wrapping up this Time Out of Mind foray we've been on is highlight some of the best reviews of Fragments, the recent Time Out of Mind bootleg series, Volume 17. My hope is that this inspires you to go read more of them in full. You can find links in the show notes. In fact, we've got a page on our website that offers links to all 75-plus reviews that have come out so far for the Fragments box set, and they're sorted by how good they are, so it's easy to read the best ones first. Before diving into the reviews, I want to let you know that this will be the last episode of Season 1, the end of our crazy deep dive into Time Out of Mind. This effort began last May and ran through 6 live events. There are now 25 podcast episodes and all kinds of blog posts, 1 live concert, and hundreds of social media posts. It was fun and I hope interesting as a start to this project. For Season 2, we're going to take a quarterly focus, usually on albums, but sometimes periods. The Fragments box kept us on Time Out of Mind a little bit into 2023, but we'll still squeeze in 4 topics for the rest of this year. Starting next week, we're going to look hard at the 2 records that most consider to be the deep roots of Time Out of Mind, records that most fans love but that don't get talked about too much, Good As I've Been to You and World Gone Wrong. It's going to be informative and interesting, and I hope you'll join us. You can see the other topics we have planned for the rest of Season 2 at our website, freakmusic.club, or on the Freak Music Substack. I'm going to start with some overall thoughts on the reviews, having read all 75 in the last month or so, and the best ones, again, preparing for this. They mostly follow a formula, regardless of their length. The origin story, the remix, some details about the outtakes, a word or two about the live recordings, and a quick summary. The overall quality of reviews this time was very good. Clearly, these are written by people with a solid to fanatical knowledge of Dylan, which is not always true of album reviews. Nearly a quarter of all of the reviews got our highest ranking of outstanding, but 34% were deemed essentially a waste of time. Some because they were so short that they couldn't add any value, and others because even at length, they didn't add any value. The origin story these reviews tended to start with, you all know. Dylan was down and out in the 90s, got a Lifetime Achievement Award at a young age. The press was ignoring him. He reunited with Lanois and his swampy sound, and it was a resurrection. Many readers of these reviews don't know Bob Dylan's career in depth, and certainly in the context of this time frame, so these are fine and appropriate and useful introductions. The remix of the album was a subject that elicited a lot of discussion, as it should, and had some really fine commentary. Here's a few quotes. Johnny Borg in his blog called it beautiful and exciting, that it took us behind the curtains and the filters. It's the same album, but it's a different album. That's a great perspective on it, and it's if you listen to our discussion with Michael Brower, who did the remix, that's exactly what they were going for. Seth Rogovoy of Forward said, on the new remixed version, the gauzy haze that blanketed the original Time Out of Mind has for the most part been lifted, much to the benefit of Dylan's voice and the drama inherent in the instrumental exchanges between the musicians. in Louder Than War, which is a blog, Ian Corbridge said, "The impact of the remix is stunning to my ears. Adding such clarity to the sound and bringing to the fore so many of the players who were buried deep in the original mix." I agree. That is one of the funnest things about the new mix, is hearing all the parts that sometimes you can go back and listen to the original and it's there, but it's very subtle in the background. And sometimes they just weren't in the original mix. In a website called Clash, Robin Murray said, "While some of the songs benefit from a slightly more streamlined approach, others lost an almost undefinable quality. Time Out of Mind has always thrived in an attempt to pin down emotions just out of reach, and this increased clarity doesn't quite serve the full project. It's different, sure, but for those who cherish the unique nature of the original recording, it doesn't add much." As much as I love the new mix, I do think there's something to be said for Lenoir's production and version having a magic in it that the new one doesn't. I think this is a case in which both new and old will continue to get listened to. In the Boston Globe, David Weininger said, "The most illuminating parts of Fragments is the remix by engineer Michael Brauer, a respectful yet fresh take on the familiar sound of the finished album. Brauer thins out the processing and murk from the sound, giving the instruments greater space and definition." On Super Deluxe Edition, Sean Hannum said, "With the new version, Brauer has nailed it. The remix is sharper, crisper, and live sounding. The performances are more intimate and immersive. It's like you're sat in the studio with Dylan and his band. Dylan's voice is cleaner and more audible in the mix, which will please listeners who thought Lenoir's original production was too murky and swampy and with too many effects on Dylan's vocals." The outtakes, discs, or records were widely loved, as they should be. Here's a few of my favorite comments on the outtakes. This one's from Doug Collette, who wrote at Glide. "The multiplicity of variations is indicative of the breadth of Dylan's imagination, one that's mirrored by the versatile talents of the musicians. Rough edges remain in the tunes, beats, and words, all yet to be sculpted into fully finished form to present the accompanists, which may explain why lyrics to each song are not included here to complete a fully panoramic view of Time Out of Mind. Bob is nothing less than fastidious in his pursuit of what sounds acceptable to him." Robin Murray in Clash said, "Time Out of Mind didn't produce that many outtakes alternative arrangements, but the deft experimentation on show fully illustrates the astonishing musicality within Dylan's band." Most of the outtake reviews included a line or two about various songs that were the particular reviewer's favorite takes. The most common call-out was the fabulous take on Water is Wide, which we learned later Dylan had recorded for a Pete Seeger tribute before the Time Out of Mind time frame, just a little bit, a few months, but it was never used, and so it was put on this box set. The live tracks got very little commentary, actually. I guess there's too much to talk about in the space the reviewers were allotted. Here's one good comment, though, from Doug Collette at Glide. "These often riveting moments of spontaneity on stage, many of which aren't less rowdy than Till I Fell in Love with You, feature two different but comparably tight quintets. The lack of fidelity in what sound in many cases to be audience recordings, however, often muffles their unified action." I will say I've come to think that the use of audience tapes is a big disappointment. As Dylan's management recently said, anyone who wants audience tapes already has them. And the two soundboards on the live disc are so superior to all the audience recordings that the people who have these soundboards should have found an album's worth of them to include in a box set this important. One actual bit of new information discovered in the reviews came from the LA Times story. They were able to talk to Daniel Lenoir, and he says, "Dylan pulled Make You Feel My Love out of nowhere, which surprised the hell out of me. I knew all the songs because I'd worked up the band before Bob even got to Miami, but I'd never heard that. The producer wasn't sure what to think of the tune, a more conventional and sentimental number than the others on Time Out of Mind. But he said, it's one of the most used up chord sequences in the history of music, Lenoir says of Make You Feel My Love's descending progression. And maybe a little bit corny, like something out of Mary Poppins. But sometimes you gotta get out of the way, so that's what I did." The Boston Globe review by David Weininger, which I quoted above, begins with the kind of cliched Dylan stereotype, which isn't even true, that his career, quote, has been nothing if not a model of inconsistency. But after that, it's actually a very good review with a lot of interesting comments. Here's three that I particularly liked. Pretty much nobody had Dylan releases a career-defining album to stand with his best work on their bingo card when Time Out of Mind appeared in September 1997. These heartsick lyrics are swathed in an atmospheric soundscape unlike any music Dylan had made before. The greatest achievement of Time Out of Mind is the way it recasts our view of Dylan's entire career. So it is clear that David Weininger really knows his Bob Dylan. And more than anything, that was really the universal truth about these reviews. These reviews were written by a lot of people who really know and seem to love Bob Dylan and were recommending this box set wholeheartedly. And that really came across. What I'd like to do next is read some longer portions from a few of what I thought were the better or best reviews. We'll start with a section from Jason Green at Pitchfork. What becomes abundantly clear over the course of the set's 6 hours is that Time Out of Mind is primarily the story of mood and one ensemble's single-minded pursuit of it. The making of this album was protracted and painful, and in all ways alive, and the album's dour countenance was largely the product of theater and shadow. Dylan, ever the role player, was inhabiting a persona, slipping into a black jacket and working the character for fresh angles. Lenoir accentuated the gloom and submerged the album in a damp chill of effects pedals and reverb until Dylan seemed to be speaking to us from the beyond. But as a new mix of fragments underlines, his baleful pallor was a stagehand's makeup, the gushing blood just red silk scarves. Whatever was happening in the studio, the musicians achieved a rambling, spacious, loose cohesion. Guitar lines seemed to be on the verge of wandering entirely out of sync, with the drums only to fall in on the beat with a satisfying breath. These are not driving rock numbers, and yet there were three or four drum kits rolling at any point. The music came on like a big black thunderhead, rolling forward with a guitar echo merged into a clatter of drums. The unreleased outtakes on Fragments reveal some of the extraordinary moments they littered along the path. That was Jason Green from Pitchfork. Justin Kober-Lake at a website or a publication called Spectrum Culture had several really interesting comments. Everything Dylan does, by nature of being Bob Dylan, fits into a grand mythos. Some musicians cut a few clunkers and then an album works out. If you're Dylan, you wait until you nearly disappear and then return with a strange new sound, hints of death, and a backstory involving multiple studios, crazed producers, and too many musicians. The production process was either a remarkable collaboration or a bitter fight. Dylan worked again with Daniel Lenoir from O Mercy, but here he used twice the number of necessary musicians and tried to model the production on a platonic idea of pre-technology blues. Lenoir looked at all that and realized that the best plan was to simply submerge the whole thing in a swamp, and Lenoir was right. Listeners get an admittedly curated look at how a classic album came to be, not from divine inspiration, but from work, thought, and experimentation. The alternate versions of the songs that did make it on the album reveal as much as ever. Dylan had strong cores to each of these numbers. In fact, he might have won a Grammy had the album been built on the session's second best versions. Those were all selections from Justin Kober-Lake at Spectrum Culture. Next, we have something from one of my favorite Bob Dylan writers, Anne Margaret Daniel, who wrote for Hot Press. It means before memory. Time out of mind is the time people cannot recall, of which there is no oral or written record. Or even pictographs on cave walls cannot enable those living, even centuries later, to look back and say, yes, I remember. Once upon a time, not out of mind, but long ago, now, Bob Dylan starred in a movie called Don't Look Back. On his 1997 record, Time Out of Mind, he kicked that concept to the curb and reveled in retrospect. Returning to the ballad form he'd long loved, such as Not Dark Yet and Highlands, stricken blues like Love Sick, Dirt Road Blues, Until I Fall in Love with You, and the 1950s rock and roll he was raised on as a boy in Hibbing, Minnesota, as in Million Miles and Cold Iron's Bound. There's a great piece in the print Mojo from Grayson Haver Curran. It is and was available on Apple News if you have that, but otherwise you got to get the print version because it's not generally online. For the next 2 weeks, as musicians poured into or stormed out of Miami, Dylan and Lenoir battled over their modern vision for the blues. Dylan looked to buttress lovesick words with a confederation of musical firecrackers. Lenoir wanted to smear it all beneath him, to shape the blues into some dark gray haze. They quarreled, huddled, toiled, and ultimately leaving Miami with the mighty but warped core of Time Out of Mind, the album that relaunched Dylan's recording career and reintroduced him to the mainstream. There's a great quote from Jim Keltner. There's a lot of new interviews in this particular piece. Bob likes to have people not think he enjoyed that much, Keltner admits. But knowing Bob well, I think Bob enjoyed the wrestling match with Danielle as much as he didn't like it. Also in that version of Mojo is a review by Danny Eccleston, which says, "In the end, Fragments upholds no single narrative on Time Out of Mind, as if that's any way to approach Dylan. And it bears out a well-chosen title. The track this writer keeps coming back to is the Teatro take of Dreaming of You on disc 2 of the deluxe edition that beats the hell out of the more hectic version previously released on Telltale Signs. Over nearly 8 minutes, Dylan's basic piano is hypnotic, his singing transported. Except for the faint echo of I'm Not There, there is no apparent precedent for a performance like this. And it's not clear how could it fit into any conceivable Time Out of Mind, either Lenoir's or Dylan's. But every time you hear it, time stands still." That's from Danny Eccleston's review of Time Out of Mind. Next, we have some selections from Vish Khanna. This was written at exclaim.ca, as well as a version was on his personal blog. And Vish also did a really great new interview with Daniel Lenoir on the Creative Control podcast. But here's what he wrote. Dylan himself had cited the passing of his friend and hero, Grateful Dead figurehead Jerry Garcia, as one impetus to delve into the lyrics about mortality, dread, and the loss of close connection. But another tragic figure looms large in the legend of Time Out of Mind's cross-generational resonance, Kurt Cobain. Cobain was labeled a screamer, but that always seemed like a dismissal of his emotional power and musicality. God damn, that guy could locate and hold a note. Cobain and Dylan, both children of Leadbelly, mastering tuneful rage and anguish like no one else. As Dylan sings on Not Dark Yet, "Behind every beautiful thing, there's been some kind of pain." On Time Out of Mind, you hear Dylan digging deep into his being to pull out his poetry. It's unearthly, the power that his voice pulls from, and it's a wide-ranging, gorgeous instrument that most mortals could never generate. In 1997, many more music fans than usual were seeking such voices out and appreciately grappling with their genuine force. Once again, that's Vish Khanna from the website exclaim.ca. I mentioned the LA Times review earlier. That was written by Michael Wood. He also spoke with Lenoir, Brian Blades, Michael Brower, and an unknown blues singer named Bonnie Raitt within that review. But here's a quote from Daniel Lenoir that he got. "Given the friction of those sessions, was Lenoir surprised to get the call? Not really, he says. Oh Mercy was a soulful record, flawed in a certain way, but I gotta be honest with you. After that, Bob did a couple of things that just didn't have it." The producer says he doesn't want to single out any of Dylan's subsequent collaborators by name. Let's say he was working with Don Quixote. I felt like calling Don Quixote and saying, what did you do? You responded to a party invitation, but you couldn't admit you never really got there? You can say anything about me, Lenoir continues, but I'm not a brown noser. I won't tell people what I think they want to hear. I tell them the truth. And so I think Bob felt he could trust that part of me. And that's why we went back in. That was from the LA Times and Michael Wood's review. Here's something from a website called The Line of Best Fit by Jan Oinonen. Ultimately, Fragments highlights the solidly sound judgment that Dylan and producer Daniel Lenoir applied when assembling Time Out of Mind. Despite the merits of many of these alternative versions, you are unlikely to want to argue with selections for the majestically atmospheric original album. For once, a remix of a classic album seems valuable. The 2022 edition of Time Out of Mind lifts some of the dense mist that permeates the original album to bring instruments you didn't know were there in from the shadows. The spotlight is even more firmly on Dylan's powerfully charged vocals, which provide irrefutable evidence that a conventionally pretty voice isn't a prerequisite for great singing. Grill Marcus talked a lot about the new Fragments box set in his new Substack called Letter in the Ether. Here's a little bit of that. People gathered around Time Out of Mind because it was one of those singular albums that in its music, as much or really far more than in its words, the music of singing as well as the music made with guitars, pianos, bass, drums, steel guitar, organ, whatever else, captured a vision of life. Grill then talks about one of the students he was teaching at the time relative to the album and something that she had said. It's a breakup album, she said mordantly, almost contemptuously, then casting back to Dylan's embrace of Jesus and his onstage fire and brimstone surgeons of 20 years before, a strain that continued speaking through the next decade, from the 1983 Infidels to the 1989 Oh Mercy. But it's not about breaking up with a woman. It's about breaking up with God. The kind of religion to which Dylan had pledged himself was its own wall, its own box. There were no questions, only answers. Now certainty had been replaced with doubt, love, and abandonment. And here Grill talks about what we find in the outtakes. A lot of it is people looking for songs. A lot of it is thrillingly displacing. Now, seemingly indelible, in memory unalterable songs with completely different lyrics, songs understood in utterly different ways, subtle distinctions in rhythm and orchestration that as you hear them more than two or three times, seem to shift what you might bring to the songs far more than any changes in words. It's a set that may repay years of listenings. That's Grill Marcus from Letter in the Ether, his new Substack. As I hope all that demonstrates, despite my readings, there are some insightful and interesting and powerful reviews that are probably worth your time. I really recommend the full versions of all the reviews I've cited today. There are links in the show notes and on the webpage where we've collected all the Time Out of Mind Fragments reviews. This show and the idea of looking at reviews and reading excerpts was an experiment, so let me know by perhaps comment on our Substack if you liked it. My thanks to everyone who's listened, all of our guests, and all of our members who supported us through season one and encouraged this project to continue and grow.
Thanks for listening.